The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show on this Friday, April 6, 2018. By the way, the program re-airs Saturday morning at 7 here on KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. That's also the place for all of our podcasts and our archive, pretty much every show we've done in the past 7+ years, and of course KVOI.com as well has the live stream of the program. Big Media Friday shout out, TucsonSentinel.com, the brainchild of Dylan Smith, who is seated here with me in studio. Dylan, thanks for your support.
Absolutely, and it's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, thank you very much. The Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, also supporting us, Tucson Media Group. In their portfolio, they have several publications, including Tucson Weekly and Inside Tucson Business. We also get support from the blog site, The Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview, Arizona Senate President Steve Yarborough, Republican representing Arizona's 17th Arizona Legislative District. With me in studio to speak with the Senate President, Joe Ferguson is here. Joe is political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Joe, how are you and how was your week?
I'm well. Thanks for having me in.
Good. Always a pleasure to see you. And let's go now on the live line and to the state capitol and Senate President Steve Yarborough. President Yarborough, how are you, sir?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Good. How's the session going? When are we going to see some action, maybe even on the budget?
Well, there's a lot of action on the budget. It's just going on between staff, and now members are looking at it. But we've had a few other things that we've been occupied with. Obviously, the opioid crisis special session, and now we are anticipating legislation being proposed relative to school safety. And then, of course, it's been teacher pay increase conversation every day, virtually all day. So that has been and remains the top priority in everybody's mind, I think.
On the governor's plan to make Arizona schools safer, there's been quite a bit of resistance from you and your colleagues on the Republican side of the aisle. What's the latest on that plan?
Well, yesterday we saw some rough draft of the actual legislative language, but it obviously is going to get some more work before it gets introduced, which hopefully will occur sometime next week. I think that the drafters probably discovered how challenging some of these things are to draft. And it has been a lot of work in that regard. We've seen, like I say, a rough draft of the legislation, and hopefully we'll see it being moved through the regular process in the next week or two.
Here's Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
I was thinking as I was driving over here to the radio station today, just kind of a broader, perhaps a philosophical question, I guess, about the budget. Why is this every year hammered out behind closed doors where you're not getting input from ordinary citizens, where people don't quite know what's going on? Why not do this work in committee meetings, in public, where people can understand the decisions and the trade-offs that are being made while you come to a final budget draft?
Well, the House has been operating more in that fashion. They've done their appropriation committee, subcommittees. That's all been in the total public eye. They've worked through that process. In the Senate, we're a smaller group. We've had Senate appropriations meetings where we have had budget presentations by the main agencies. But your point is well taken. There's a lot of conversations that go on between the governor's office and between the House and the Senate to try to arrive at a consensus budget, which then goes out to the public, gets a lot of input in full hearings at that point in time. But, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, that those conversations don't go on at great length behind closed doors, but you've got to get to 16/31/1, and that sometimes is important to help that be accomplished.
Well, it seems like every year the budget is dropped late in the afternoon and then discussed for several hours, and you guys end up voting on it at 2 or 3 a.m.
Well,
that's not public.
Yeah, we didn't do that last year. Fortunately, we actually did that in the daytime, which is a is a blessing, I realize. But what happens, the political process is that if you can get an accord, then the momentum is to try to get the job accomplished as expeditiously as you can. But there will be a substantial opportunity for public input in addition to what we have already seen. And trust me, the agencies are relentless in urging their position to members as this goes along. So there's lots of information that comes into the members in this process.
Here's Joe Ferguson from the Arizona Daily Star.
Teachers are threatening to strike. So can you put a percentage on how much you'd like to give teachers this year, an actual number?
Well, it depends a little bit, Joe, on what all you count. Do you count the things that we're doing for K-12 public education over and above teacher salary increases, which I do say is number one? But there's also the question of what do we do about new school construction and building renewal. And as you know, we did the 301 extension for another 20 years, which will generate, if sales tax increases as time goes along, it will be a bigger and bigger number. But even using the current number, $665 million a year. Now, I fully concede that that is basically status quo. Yes, a little growth. We move some money around that as soon as a bunch of the indebtedness gets paid off, that money is going to shift over to teacher salaries. So do we count that? I'd like to, I suppose. But I think the number, if you look at inflation funding and if you look at the $100 million in additional assistance, which the districts can use for teacher salary increases, once if you add all that up, it's going to be a pretty substantial number. Would I like it to be bigger? Absolutely. But it's going to be as large as we can possibly make it.
You said education is a top priority right now. Is this a time to consider tapping into the rainy day fund or maybe spending some of the surplus that's projected for this fiscal year?
Surplus in the sense of an ending balance. I think we've already raised the revenue projection, and that's going to be funding that's going to be implied into this budget, and I think will be helpful. Tapping the rainy day fund, wow. Probably not. A rainy day fund is there for the next recession, I suspect, and I haven't heard anyone suggesting that we would actually tap the rainy day fund.
All right, let's go to our live line. Matthew has called us. He has a question for the Senate President, Steve Yarborough. Matthew calling at 790-2040. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yes. First, Senator Yarborough, I just want to say thank you to you, the legislature, and the governor for the reauthorization of the Rio Nuevo. It's been very important to our recovery here, and I think you can be proud of what Fletcher McCusker and the board have been doing with Rio Nuevo.
Yeah, I voted for that, but it's not all the way home yet. I understand that there is a glitch in the House, so we're still trying to...
I think the governor signed it yesterday, so...
Oh,
I think
well, if that's, you're probably more informed than I am, so that's perfectly good. But
again,
I certainly supported it.
You're tracking a lot of things. I'm going to ask you to track one more thing for Pima County,
yes.
And it involves workforce development. there's a bill, HB 2559, that is, Pamela Powers Hanley is the sponsor, and we it's being supported here by the members like Humberto Lopez, who's sent a letter to the governor asking him to please consider it. And what it involves very quickly is money for both Maricopa County, Maricopa Community College, and Pima Community College here. I sit on meetings every month with all of our major developers and construction, and the number one issue is we can't find people to do the work. We need this money. It will be multiplied in our economy and in our state. It's workforce for the community colleges to start getting some programs going so we can get workers. Thank you.
I'll give it a careful look. Yes, sir.
All right. The Senate President, Steve Yarborough, sticks around for another segment. But before we take our first break with recorded messages, I want to tell you live that my favorite bakery in town give a testimonial, and gladly so, to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Dylan, do you like bakery goods?
Indeed, I do. And Scandinavian baked goods, especially. I mean, that's some tasty stuff.
Check it out. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Now would be a great time to stop by for lunch. Steve's been baking the bread and doing a great job with that. So why not a sandwich on that freshly baked bread? And how about one of the Buckmaster brownies? My favorites. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. A link to Mona's Danish Bakery.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Dr. Don Jorgensen and Jim Kelly. Also, the monthly scam alert from the Better Business Bureau. Buckmaster airs each weekday during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice, KBOI, AM 1030, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI. Joe Ferguson is here, political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of Tucson's online news service known as TucsonSentinel.com. And with us on the live line from the state capitol is Steve Yarborough, senator, Senate president, and he represents District 17, a Republican in the state legislature. Let's go now to Joe Ferguson, who's with me in studio. Go ahead, Joe.
Sir, the Arizona Republic had a pretty good piece on Kathy Herod talking about financing for charter schools. Are you familiar with the piece?
I am. I read it yesterday.
So does that give you thought or pause in terms of maybe putting a cap on these kind of funding schemes?
Well, that conversation was about the ESA expansion bill that was passed last year and was referred to the ballot that we may very well see in November. I read the comments. I'm obviously familiar with Kathy's position on these issues. There wasn't a single thing there that was, in my mind, even particularly newsworthy. This has been her public position consistently on these issues. She did end up signing off on that expansion bill that had a testing piece that she was personally opposed to, but eventually supported it, and that was in the bill that was signed by the governor. I have to confess, a year after the fact and with no news at all, I thought it was much ado about nothing, but it was still interesting.
Is there a point, though, where we should possibly cap ESAs in terms of the amount that's going into them?
Well, the ESAs have a cap, both dollar amount and the number of kids. The ESA bill that's been referred to the ballot has a dollar cap. It caps at 90% of what would otherwise be paid for those same students if they went to a public school. And secondly, it has a hard cap for the number of students. They can't exceed more than 0.5% a year increase, and it has a 30,000 cap. The irony is, if the bill that's been referred is voted down, the existing legislation that's in place has no cap on the number of students, so we would be back to that. And that in 2019, that cap, which was a 5-year cap, goes off completely.
What is the time frame right now that you are working from? We spoke a little bit about, Dylan asked you about kind of dead of the night budget proposals. What do you realistically think? Are you thinking the end of April here, or you think this will extend into May?
Well, we're very hopeful still that we can get out the end of April. The challenge may indeed be more the school safety legislation and how that sort of puts the budget back, down for a little bit. Now, Are we capable of working on school safety legislation and budget legislation simultaneously? I certainly hope so. But we're going to do the school safety legislation in regular course. In other words, it's not going to be what I did on Prop 301, which was basically do the extension in a single day. We went to committee, we went to caucus, we went to rules, we went to committee of the whole, we did third read, we sent it to the House, and they passed it as well, all in a single day. We are not going to do that on school safety legislation. And so that may cause us, that could push us off another week or so, and that could take us into May.
The federal court does not like that settlement that was worked out concerning our schools and improving the infrastructure in the schools. I think it's something like over $300 million here at stake. Could this potentially be a huge crisis if this proceeds through the federal court system and the state has to reverse itself on this?
Well, that would be a huge crisis. I have considerable confidence, and this is just one lawyer, and everybody has their own, I suppose, but I don't believe that Prop 123, which was the state trust land money that we accelerated the payments to K-12 public education, I do not believe that district court decision is going to stand for a couple of reasons. One, I believe the Ninth Circuit may very well have a different view, and we are going to appeal that. And secondly, in the budget that Congress just passed, that omnibus spending bill, there is very clear, specific language that Senator McCain and Representative Sinema got into that bill. I actually literally read that page and a half of the federal budget, and it speaks right to the fact that the Arizona voters did indeed pass that, by vote. And I'm confident that is going to stand as permission under the Enabling Act. And I don't think we're going to have to worry ultimately about going and trying to get $365 million back from schools that need it desperately.
What about border security? Does the legislature have any say over whether or not National Guard troops, Arizona National Guard troops, will be sent to the border?
I've not been briefed on that by my legal counsel, but I'm not aware that would be something that the legislature would necessarily be in a position to engage in. But we'll be taking a look at that, I'm sure. But so far, I'm not aware that's something where we will get to weigh in.
Here's Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
Senator, if we do deploy a significant number of Arizona National Guard troops on the border, that would be a bit of a hit to the state budget. The state has to pay for that and then try and get paid back by the feds. Nobody's talking about federalizing the Guard as part of this. So is there money available to do that?
Not readily. I wasn't being at all facetious. I mean, teacher pay is number one. And it's hard for me to see how if there's a big ticket for that, how that readily gets paid for. That'll present a challenge, to say the least.
The teacher pay, getting back to teacher pay, are you concerned, really, in all candor here, are you concerned that there will be some kind of a teacher strike before the end of the school year, which is coming up in about, I think, 6 weeks school districts?
Well, I would be certainly concerned. I am. But I have high confidence in our teachers that I think that they're going to honor their contracts. They understand how important their jobs are. At the end of the school year. So I don't believe that's actually going to happen. I hope not. Arizona is different from West Virginia and Kentucky and Oklahoma in a couple of important respects here. And one is we have the world's largest charter school movement. We've got 15% or so of our kids in charter schools. We've got a growing private school population. I don't know that we suddenly want to create a circumstance where a lot of folks are saying, oh man, I'm not happy with this. I'm going to find another school for my student.
So you feel the presence of the charter schools and the large private school system would dilute in some way the public teacher's strike?
Well, I would hope that would be another factor that might cause our teachers to say, you know, we're making our point. We're making it well. People are listening. We don't really need to go and stop teaching these kids.
All right. Senate President Yarbrough, we appreciate you taking the time to kind of give us an update on where we are with this legislative session. And we'll see if the session progresses through April or into May. That's coming up, certainly. Senator, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Bill.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Steve Yarbrough is the president of the Arizona Senate. He's a Republican representing the district number 17 in the Arizona legislature. Joe Ferguson sticks around, as does Dylan Smith. We've got our roundtable portion of the program coming up right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona will soon be moving to 635 West Roger Road, our new home. We'll have a pet-friendly cafe, awesome cool cat habitats, lots of play yards for our dogs, a state-of-the-art clinic, and more. We're caring for your new best friend until you find them at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. Come visit us this February at 635 West Roger Road and fall in love all over again. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society, Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're at the midway point in our program. And just a reminder, if you missed a portion of the first half of the program, you can hear it tomorrow. The program in its entirety at 7 here on KBOI. And of course, our interview to start things was the Senate President Steve Yarborough and Dylan Smith and Joe Ferguson ably assisting me in the interview with the Senate President. Dylan, it was interesting to hear him say near the end of the interview that right now school teachers, school safety certainly is a priority over the border and the National Guard.
Yeah, that was a, you know, obviously, and at the legislature, they have to try and balance some pretty hard choices. And right now, we have to see exactly what the plans are coming from the White House and Department of Defense as to how states might be reimbursed for deploying the National Guard. But generally how that works is the states have to front the money and make sure the guardsmen can be paid and then try and get paid back by the federal government. And if there's no money to float towards that right now, that kind of undercuts the political posturing that's going on over Trump's declaring that he's going to send the military to the border.
Yeah, and I wonder if the state was ever paid back for the two previous occasions where National Guard troops were sent to the border.
There was some money that came in, and that that's a pretty common process when there are natural disasters, when you see the National Guard deployed, after a hurricane or something like that, where, the states do that work. And fairly quickly at times, the feds will get that money sent to the states. Other times, not so much.
Joe, I want to talk a little bit about South Tucson. You've been covering the saga of that small hamlet on what their future, really. They had the recall election. Was it 4 council members were recalled?
The mayor and 3 council members.
Successfully recalled.
Yeah.
And so now they have this newly reconstituted council has been, were they sworn in and ready to go or what?
They're sworn in and they got busy immediately on Monday night. But
fighting.
Fighting is pretty much where they're at. So the city manager resigned that evening, and a old political fight between the Greens and Paul Diaz over whether or not Diaz may have taken some money inappropriately was made public that night, and is certainly one of the biggest issues now going forward, as the former city manager said that he turned over information to law enforcement on that issue.
Hmm.
Did he say which law enforcement?
He won't say.
Curious.
Very curious.
Another issue, local issue that has a lot of people upset is the future of the Benedictine monastery. What is going to happen there? The neighbors not happy with the plans that they have seen, which pretty much if you vision you envision the monastery. This circles the monastery with 7-story structure on 2 sides and then 5-story behind it. So it pretty much encases the structure with building around it.
It does, and as best as we've been able to report, nobody's happy about it. Both the neighborhood as well as the developer are locked tight in a battle over what that spot's going to look like.
It could possibly be worse from the point of view of the neighborhoods immediately adjacent if a different sort of structure were to go in there. You know, it could turn into, less attractive student housing, quite possibly. And the developers I don't know if threatening is quite the right word, but I'll use that one, to sell it to another developer who would be free to do anything they wanted with that property, including completely bulldozing the monastery and just putting up student apartments.
The monastery is not on the National Historic List.
It's not protected.
And that's
even if it were, that doesn't keep anyone from bulldozing it. The owners can do what they want to do
really?
With their property.
So are you saying a designation of historic status really is meaningless?
Pretty much. When somebody sells a piece of property, they can put a covenant on it where the future owners can't do certain modifications. But, you know, just having an outside party put something on a list can have tax benefits, but doesn't mean that you can't, do what you want with the property. You lose those tax benefits.
So is there, I guess there would be a point where if there is enough opposition, the gentleman who has bought the property, and I don't remember what the price tag was. Do you recall that, Joe, how much he spent for that? But whatever, how many millions of dollars he spent, is there a point where he could just say, I'm going to do what I want?
Well, to an extent. I mean, there's certainly zoning laws in place, but he's at least sensitive to what the neighbors are talking about and is taking feedback. He's one of the reasons why the monastery wasn't destroyed on plans, but an out-of-state developer may not be as susceptible to such protests.
One of the reasons that this is caught up in this controversy is he's asking for a zoning variance to be able to build higher than he would be permitted to, because in order to make the kind of money he wants to make off of this, he needs a certain number of units, and rather than flatten the monastery, he wants to build around it and go a little bit higher.
Right. And, I should always mention that schools and churches don't have to do with any zonings inside the city. So there are uglier prospects that could be done if it was sold to another developer.
Yeah. And one of the uses he was talking about was turning it into some kind of a spa. When he bought the property, for $5.9 million, the gentleman's intention was to build student housing, but he proposed luxury apartment options after getting feedback. So he could have gone with the student housing initially.
Right.
All right. Changing subjects here. City Council, Joe, you wrote about the council's considering pay increases for employees. What's at stake here?
Well, about $6 million is being fought over by various unions inside the city government, and they all have a different way of how they'd like to spend the money. And across the boards, 2.5% pay increase for everybody who'd been there for at least 2 years had been floated, but both police, fire, and some of the blue-collar workers objected to that, saying that they had a better idea in place on how to use the money.
And the chief is asking, Chief Magnus is asking for a 5% pay increase.
On top of the 2.5.
On top of the 2.5. And we had Paul Durham on the show about a week or so ago. He said he was in favor of the chief's 5% pay raise, but I didn't ask him if he's in favor of the 5% plus the 2.5%.
Well, and the chief's request only benefits about 450 officers. And so, it's a kind of positioning some officers getting a very large raise percentage-wise to some that would get very little.
Would that apply to all officers or those who've been on the job for 2 years, or what are the restrictions in that proposal?
It's a complicated proposal, but generally speaking, we're talking about officers that have been there for a while. More than 4 years would be up for 7.5% as a retention bonus, and those, that have only been on the force for, say, a year, might not see anything.
As a bonus or as a pay raise?
As a pay raise.
A pay raise. So that would have the long-term consequences for, you know, their salaries and pension for
ever. And the pension is the issue.
Yeah. The city's facing, you know, a bill of several billion dollars over a fairly long stretch to deal with the pension issue right now.
Right, and they're considering moving from a 19-year payment system to a 30-year payment system, which if you look at your credit cards is, you know, there's a problem with that long term.
The interest adds up.
It does.
Dylan Smith is here, and Joe Ferguson, 790-2040, if you would like to add a comment. In this discussion, a lot of people, Dylan, are very upset about the situation with the police, saying that this is now a very unsafe city to live in. We have about 800 sworn officers. It's 100 less than several years ago. Do you think this is being blown out of proportion? Is this as nasty a place to live as some people would like to portray it as? There you go.
You know, statistics show that Tucson is not an unsafe place to live, and we haven't seen a huge increase in either violent crime or property crime over the last few years. You know, things blip up and down, but the curve over the past more than a decade has been pretty consistent that crime in the city of Tucson is way, way down. Of course, a hard-pressed police force is not going to provide the level of service that they would if they had 100 or 200 or 300 more officers, especially having officers out on the street. I went on a Facebook rant a few weeks ago that you guys may have seen. Somebody rear-ended me, and I think somebody who should have gotten at least a test to see if he'd been drinking. And after 90 minutes, no one from TPD had shown up.
Hmm.
And, you know, so there are lots of less vital calls that police officers are pretty much unable to respond to because they are running from serious call to serious call. And so that does eventually add up to having an impact on our quality of life. That's different from saying that we live in a violent, unsafe, dangerous city. I don't think that anybody can credibly make that kind of case. But should we have more cops out doing the job of serving the people? I don't think anybody's arguing against that either.
Hmm. Well, another topic that I wanted to bring up is the warehouse. Joe, you've been reporting on that. That's going to be built. It's approximately a million square feet. And most folks are pointing that that's going to be an Amazon warehouse here in Tucson. You were hearing as many as 2,000 employees for that facility?
During the holidays,
yeah. So, and Amazon has said there'll be no comment until the project is finished. Is that what you understand?
I think there'll be an announcement at some point, but whether it's when the project is finished, when they break ground, it's really hard to say exactly when that's going to happen. But, you know, when we looked at the internal documents, it pointed to one massive shipper, and there's only one that could be building this site. So, and that's Amazon.
I had some sources who I cannot name for obvious reasons because they need to keep their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to betray their confidence, but they confirmed with me absolutely that this is being built for Amazon.
Okay, let's go to the live line. Greg would like to join in the conversation specifically about police. Go ahead, Greg.
Thanks, Bill. I'll keep it brief. You're mm-hmm. up on a break. You know, they're issuing warrants for folks' arrest. If you sit in court, I've seen the judge say, Mary Rodriguez, not here. It's 10 after 9. Issue a warrant for her arrest. Now, maybe Mary has children at home, and maybe she missed the bus. So the cops might stop Mary, and they'll pick her up. They got to write her up, take her downtown. I've seen 3 cars and 3 cops in the park there. They got some guy on a bicycle going through his backpack. What we need is to reassign the officers to, like the gentleman that was in the accident there, and guy might have been drinking, and the cops never showed up.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Greg, for your comment, and just about out of time. Just to kind of, Dylan, I don't think we saw you. We have not seen you since the Republican debate at the Rocky Mountain Oyster Club, which you tried to attend, correct?
Yeah. I'm a registered Republican. I bought a ticket and was nonetheless turned away at the door because I'm a person whose job it is to uphold the Constitution and the First Amendment. And, you know, I was told there was no press allowed when I showed up.
And who despite the invitation
saying that all Pima County Republicans are welcome.
Who specifically escorted you or
I wasn't escorted. No, I was informed that I wasn't going to be allowed to attend and wasn't welcome there. That was the chair of the Pima County Republican Party, David Eppelheimer.
Has David learned any lessons, Joe, from this incident? Well, it's not really an incident, but it's a debate where about 50 people showed up.
He told my colleague Tim Steller that they'll reconsider where they hold public events in terms of political functions that should be open to the press in the future, but only time will tell.
The irony here is that, here you have several Republican candidates who are really looking to get the word out and try and let people know that, hey, they're running for Congress. And instead they, hold this event someplace where only those people, the handful of people who showed up that day and paid for a ticket, can attend. A basic political strategy, that doesn't make very sense. The folks there didn't really say anything controversial. In fact, the reason I haven't gotten a story published on this yet is that, several people were there and had recordings and provided it to me. The recording is so uncontroversial and mundane that I haven't been able to make it all the way through the thing yet to let people know what was said.
All right.
So, I mean, this was not like, some sort of thing that they had to hide
meeting,
someone was going to say something terrible.
Didn't happen.
Why not just let people know what's going on and what they stand for?
That would be the best way. Dylan Smith, thank you very much. We'll look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com. And Joe Ferguson, we'll look for your work in the Arizona Daily Star. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up next.
There is still time this year for you to give your 2017 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar tax credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 30 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes you wish to support. It's easy. Feel good and go to givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org to learn more.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our 3 new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Pima County Public Library is proud to present American Exceptionalism Reconsidered, a lecture by Noam Chomsky. Join us at this free event on Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m. in Hockamy Plaza outside Joel D. Valdez Main Library. Professor Chomsky, one of the most influential public intellectuals in the world, will offer an important discussion on timely topics, including gun culture in American society. Friday, April 13th at 7 p.m.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Oh yes, the temperature is soaring in southern Arizona. That means 15 degrees cooler for sure over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That high elevation, 5 to 6,000 feet, really does make a difference. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the great places to stay. And there really are dozens of recreation opportunities, hiking, camping, you name it, just hanging out in historic Silver City there on the website. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell, who is the president and CEO of the award-winning Russell Public Communications. And just as importantly, he is a food and beverage columnist, the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business. How are you, sir?
Oh, I am ready for the weekend, obviously.
How about a hot tip on a pick of the week happy hour?
Yeah, well, with weather this nice, today's happy hour has patio written all over it. And, of course, one of my favorite patios in town is Union Public House over there in St. Philip's Plaza. I say check out their social hour today, which runs from 3 to 6, and enjoy one of the best starters in town, their house-made pub chips with blue cheese, Mornay sauce, and smoked bacon. And since the high temp this afternoon is likely going to hit 90, one of their frozen adult slushies should do the trick. Get your weekend started at Union today.
Yeah, it's all happening over at the pub house. And what about Food Network? Were they in town recently?
Yeah, as you may have heard, Food Network star Guy Fieri was here recently shooting some new episodes for his popular show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And the show that they shot at Inca's Peruvian Cuisine on Sunrise and Kolb will air tonight. Now, to mark the occasion, Incas is going to be hosting a viewing party at about 6 p.m. with free samples of the dishes that Guy himself loved. Mm. This is some great national exposure for a family restaurant right here in Tucson tonight at 6 at Incas. And if you watch the segment closely, Bill, you might just see a familiar face in the crowd, and that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I know who that would be. How about a cold brew right now?
Well, at many beer festivals, it's the brews that make the news, of course, while the food is all too frequently falling short of memorable. But the Baja Beer Festival tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. at downtown's Armory Park, not only will you get to sample some great Arizona beers, but you can also feast on some imaginative dishes that nearly 20 local chefs have collaborated on. I'm not talking about bags of chips and pretzels, Bill. I'm talking about sage chili chicken sausages, grass-fed burgers with braised pork belly, beer-braised greens with cured bacon. What? Real food at a beer festival?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tomorrow afternoon at Armory Park.
I got to go get some lunch. have a great weekend, Matt. Thanks so
much. Cheers, Bill. You bet.
We're all excited here at KVOI. John C. Scott, legendary Tucson broadcaster, returning to the airwaves right here on KVOI from 4 to 6. John's show will be on each Saturday afternoon. Heavy on the political talk. We welcome John back to the airwaves on KVOI. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. My thanks to Ray Allen, our fine KVOI operations manager, and also my teammate on the other side of the glass, making sure all the dials are pointed in the right direction. Also, a thanks to the whole team here at KVOI, including the best production manager I've ever worked with, and he's also a very funny guy, Jerry Cross. The whole team here hoping you have a pleasant and a very safe weekend. Have a good one.